Well, we are delighted to have Joy with us this evening. Of course, new Joy, she's a member, or still is a member, in Armagh. We were a minister for 12 years or so. We got to know Joy and her sister Gillian, and then her parents. And it is a delight to have her now. Her father, Charlie, hasn't been well. He's been getting treatment. And so since Joy's been home every day, she's been driving from a weekday, of course, when the hospital's on, driving her father up to Belfast for the treatment and back again. And we appreciate that labour of love for her dad. He as yet hasn't professed faith in Christ. And do remember Charlie is his name. And do remember Joy and Gillian's dear dad in your prayers. We're delighted Joy's here. We'll ask her to come and speak to us.
Well, it is lovely to be here and to be able to share with you a little of what we've been doing in the land of Spain in these past 4 years since I was last home on deputation meetings. I want us to read a verse of scripture. It's found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 9 and the verse 4. Gospel of John chapter 9 and the verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I do realise that these words are Christ speaking, and it's Christ saying that his Father has sent him to do the work of the redemption of men. But it does say why it is day. And as we are imitators of Christ, we have to remember that those who know Christ as their Saviour, we should be in the same work as our Master. The scripture tells us that people are saved through the foolishness of preaching. We have to be out and about and moving and telling people the wonderful message of Christ while it is day. And I do thank the Lord for the opportunity that he has given me to go to the land of Spain. I thank those who pray for me faithfully and those who support me as well financially. I do appreciate from the depths of my heart those that do remember us both prayerfully and faithfully at the throne of grace. We do realise the longer you're on the mission field how important it is to have people at home praying for you. You never know what comes along or what crosses your path. And it is so important to remember that somewhere out of nowhere you have the strength to keep going. And you know, when you sit back down and think about it afterwards, you know that was somebody. The Lord has touched somebody at home to be praying for me at that moment and has given me the strength to keep going. And we do thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord that as a child of the age of 7, the Lord put his hand upon me and he opened my eyes to the wonderful truth that I could know that my sins were forgiven, that I could have peace with God, that I could have the assurance of eternal life. You know, sometimes the devil oversteps his mark, and I was brought up in a Church of Ireland home. My mum would have brought us to church faithfully. We lived in Bangor, but the Bangor church started and wanted to bring in their idol. They were saint somebody or other, I can't remember who he was, but they wanted to bring in this idol of the saint into the church. Now my mum wasn't saved, but you know, she had been taught as a child in a Quaker children's meeting the Ten Commandments, and she knew there shouldn't be an idol in the church. And she was talking to the milkman. Again, some of the younger people aren't going to remember what milkmen were, but these were the gentlemen that came very early in the morning with your bottles of milk and they left them for you, but they would come back on a Friday evening to get the money from you. And this man, he wasn't a saved man either, but Mummy had a good relationship with him. And Mummy just said to him, you know, they're putting an idol into our church. I want to go somewhere where my children are going to be taught the truth. I want my children to hear what Scripture teaches us. I don't want them to be led astray. And you know, at that time, it was in the early 70s, and at that time there was a lot of political, and the church, our own church, the denomination was really moving. There was more churches being opened. And the man says to my mum, he says, I think you should go and find one of Paisley's churches, because I think that man knows the truth. And you know, that was it. We moved back. My parents were from Armagh area, so we just moved back to the Armagh area. We lived basically on the main street, on the main Newry Road, and we could see them building the new, which was then the new church in Armagh, and we would have walked round the back of our house and down to where the church was in the old portable, and there we heard faithfully the message of Jesus Christ, and we went to Sunday school. And I thank the Lord that the day that my mum got saved, in those days my dad actually went to church with my mum, and one of the elders' wives said to me one day, says, your mummy would have been sitting in tears. She wanted to get saved, but your daddy wouldn't let her. He was dragging her out. No, we're going. And mum got saved at home. Mr. Cook called in to see her. And really, when my mum got saved, that was the day then my dad stopped going to church. So please do pray for him. Pray for the land of Spain as well. We need the Lord to move in that land. I've read the verse that says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The history of Spain, unfortunately, is not a history where the gospel has been freely open to the people. You go back so many centuries and you have the time of Inquisition. And there the doors of Spain were firmly shut closed. And many, many hundreds of Christians and thousands of Christians were burnt at the stake. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't just, the Catholic Church wasn't just against the Reformation coming in. Anybody who was a Jew or a Muslim or a Christian, anybody that was not Roman Catholic. And then in our more recent days under Franco, again, he had the hand upon the people and the fear of the people. As being a Roman Catholic teacher, he had again the doors closed to the message of Christ. And it is sad when you think of a country that for so many centuries, they never had the opportunity to hear the message of Christ. Away back in the 20s, there was a time of instability in the country, and the doors were open for a short time, and a man by the name of Esteban López, he got saved. Now, he lived in the area of Baez de Segura, where Lyle Boyd lives, in the area where our church was in the beginning. It was in that town. And this man away in the 20s heard the message of Christ, and he got in contact with what was then the Spanish Gospel Mission. And he went to have classes with them to learn a little bit like the Whitfield, only in a shorter scale. It was only gone for 3 weeks. But it meant that he could go home, that he had a basis of the Bible, and he was able to go home and open his home to reach his family, his friends, his neighbours, his workmates. And he was able to get a wee group of 8 to 10 people, according to the actual rule, the books of the Spanish Gospel Mission. But again, when General Franco then won the Civil War, he closed the door. And again, Franco's great claim was everybody in Spain was Roman Catholic. Basically because it was illegal to be anything other than a Roman Catholic. And those that were not Roman Catholic, were many of them had to flee. The Esteban López, unfortunately, he didn't flee. And he was taken out and he was shot dead for his faith, as were a number of other pastors at that time in the early 30s. And it's sad when you think there was times when a country didn't have the freedom. But at present, Spain is wide open to the gospel. We've had 35 years when anybody can go and bring the message of Christ. But it's sad to think that even in our own denomination, John Hannah's been there 35 years, and yet there is only 5 people there from our own denominations. We really need to, while it is day, while there is the opportunity, while the door is still open, we need men and women to come out to the land of Spain. Spain has a population of 47 million people, yet only 0.2% are evangelical. Now, if you imagine a square, you have as a map of Spain. Spain is basically a square. You have a bit down here that's Portugal, and then we're joined up here to France. But it is roughly a square, and the centre of the peninsula, the Iberian Peninsula, is actually Madrid centre. And that's where John Hannah is working, in a town called Alcorcón, just a suburb of Madrid. And he has a small church there. Well, it's a big church in Spanish terms. It's a congregation of about 70 to 80 people. And he's there with Angel Alvarez. I'm sure you remember Angel when he was the last here. And they work there. Angel is also trying to get a wee group in the village that he lives in, just about an hour's drive out off Madrid, and he, with a number of other people from the church, actually live in this wee village, so they're trying on a Friday night to bring in their neighbours and their friends, basically what Esteban López did so many years ago, Angel's trying to do in his own town, and to reach his neighbours and his friends in that community with the gospel. A number of their neighbours have come in, but continue to pray for that, that the Lord will really open that door, and they will have more joining them to hear the message. You travel four hours up north, and you come to Miranda de Ebro, where Jordi Ruiz, I'm not sure was Jordi here? No? Okay, he's the Spanish pastor who's also part of our team in the land of Spain, and he's working in Miranda de Ebro, and he's been there quite a number of years. I would think it's about 8 or 9 years that Jordi has been there, but you know, he has one person in his congregation, one person in his family. Pray for him. In the last year and a half, the Lord has really blessed him because he has opened a door an hour's way up right on the border in Bilbao, or at the seafront in Bilbao with the Atlantic. And there he has 15 to 20 people coming along. And it has been a real blessing after so many years of so little harvest. The Lord has opened these doors. And these people are very keen to be part of the church, to be part of a Presbyterian and a Reformed doctrine. So pray for Jorge. But you can imagine, you can travel 4, 5, 6 hours going north and south, and you really don't get to the edges of Spain. And these open expanses all are wide open to the gospel, and there's very, very few churches in them. You come back to the centre of Madrid, you come right down to the end of your square, and you have Malaga. And if you sort of go halfway in between the two on a map, you'll see Bez de Segura and Cortijos Nuevos, where I am, and Lyle Boyd is serving the Lord. And we're working again in just a small community, and most of our people come from individual towns. There's only one lady in Cortijos Nuevos where we have the church that is a saved lady, but everybody else comes from just one town, and they're generally the only Christians in their towns. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are actually from Newton Ards, but I think there's going to be more than one of you here is actually from Newton Ards. What would it be like to be the only one in your town that was a Christian? And that's what we have. We have one lady, and she's now in her 80s. Her husband died the last time I was home in deputation. And Felicita has a great desire to see her neighbours one for the Lord, because she says, who's going to pray for them when I die? I can't live forever. She's got to the point that this winter, she's went to stay with her sister away up on the coast, the Valencian coast, because she's too old. She can't stay on her own. She's health problems. And she says, but who's going to be the light in my village? Who's going to be giving out the tracts? Who's going to be there praying for these people? My village is going to be left without a light. Pray that the Lord touches hearts. We need men and women. We need labourers to come to the land of Spain. We need people with a love to come with the message of Christ Jesus. Felicita had us go to her home for a ladies' meeting, and we were able to get in over 8 of her neighbours on 2 occasions, and it was a wonderful opportunity to be able to reach these ladies with the gospel. But there's many others, many of our ladies, they were encouraged. They said, well, I'm going to go back and start inviting the rest of my neighbours again, even though they've promised to come in the past and haven't come. But it gives them that bit of an oomph to get back out and to get back out reaching and speaking with their neighbours. But it is a difficult place, but we must reach out. We must work the works of him that sent us. God has sent us. He has sent you here to Newton Ards. He sent me to Spain. We all have our work that we must do. And the Lord expects each one of us to be working while it is day. We never know when your neighbour maybe is going to move away, or your workmate going to change his position in work. He could go to a different office. You never know. And it's going to be too late if you let him go away without having shared the gospel first with him. Pray that the Lord will give you opportunities to speak with him, that you too can work the works that God has sent us. We all have a work that we can do. There's always something. At the minute in Spain, we are having problems. As many of you know, there's the great crisis. There's very little. The economy is crashing in the country. And you have areas like Barcelona, which are slightly autonomous to start with, but they're saying, listen, we want to cut all ties with the rest of Spain. We want to be a country of our own. Why should we pay taxes and it be used to bail out everybody else in the country? Why shouldn't it just be kept in with us? And there is talk of them leaving. You also have those who would have been strong supporters of Franco, even though he's dead 35, 38 years. You would still have his political party there, And there's many of them saying, listen, we have to go back to the old times. We have to go back to where we were before. We have to go back and close things down and get us back to where we were under Franco. And if that was to happen, unfortunately, I would say the first thing that would go would be the religion, and the doors would be closed again. You also have the Muslims. As many as you know, I'm sure, the Muslims ruled Spain for 8 centuries before the Spaniards themselves took control under the Catholic kings. And if you talk to the Muslims, they will tell you, we want to reconquer the land of Spain. We want to bring it back into the fold. And as you know, what happens in those countries, there's definitely no freedom of religion in them. While it is day, we need to be up, we need to be working. 18 million Spaniards live in towns and villages that have no evangelical witness at all. We need men and women to come over and to help us. We need people at home to pray for us, to pray that the Lord will send his Spirit, that his Spirit will come and move in the hearts of the people and show the people the need of a Saviour. Now, it isn't an easy country. Because of the centuries of the history of that land, it is very, very hard to break in with the people. And it really is just, first of all, getting to say hello and the people actually to respond to you and say hello back. That's a big step. Then you get the next step when they'll actually say, you know, it's a nice day or terrible weather. Not that often. We don't get often it's a terrible weather. But at the minute I was speaking to some of the ones in the church and I said, yes, we've had sun for 2 or 3 weeks. It hasn't rained. It's lovely. And they wrote back, snow, snow, and more snow is what they're getting. So I think I've got the better deal this time round than being in Northern Ireland. But it is hard just to get those people to break in. And really, we're there so long. My neighbours in front of me, they're lovely people, really good, really kind. The type of people that will help you if you need anything. But at the beginning, they would have took the tracts. And then after a while, they said, you know, Joy, we don't actually ever read your tracts. Why don't you just hold on to your tracts and give them to somebody who maybe will read them? So you have to just hold on to your tracts. But just there, about a year, year and a half ago, the husband, Gregory in English, he took sick. And I hadn't realised that it was the time of our olive harvest. And he's people that they work, if they could work 24 hours in the day, they would be working the 24 hours in the day. And especially when it is their own olive harvest, they're always away and busy in their work. But and that's why I hadn't noticed them not coming in and out of their house. But after about 3 or 4 weeks of not seeing him, I said, well, there's definitely something wrong. I should at least have heard his old truck that he starts up. You can sort of hear the rattle of it going. You sort of can hear it at like 6 o'clock in the morning and you know that they're heading off. And I thought, well, there must be something wrong here. And I was asking about, and I heard then that he was in hospital. And he had been in hospital for the past 3 to 4 weeks. And the doctors didn't really know what was wrong with him. But, you know, I went to visit him in hospital. And I didn't read or I didn't pray with him because I knew they'd always said, you know, that's your religion. We've got ours. That's yours. But I wanted to go because, as I say, they are really good neighbours. And I just said to him, listen, we'll be praying for you. That first of all, the doctors couldn't work out where his infection was coming from, so they couldn't keep it under control. And I said, we'll be praying for you. The Lord will really touch you and even touch the doctors to give them the information that they need to know what is wrong with you. And so he was let out of hospital about 2 to 3 weeks afterwards. He was in hospital a total of 6 weeks. And then he was released. And I was coming in that evening from my work. And as soon as he heard my car coming into the street, he was out to say thank you for praying for him. And, you know, every time he had to go for a revision in the doctor, he was telling me, Joy, don't forget, I'm going next week for the revision, or I'm going tomorrow. And then when he would be coming back from it, he'd be out again. Now I was at the doctor's, and the doctor said this and that. And every time you're able to share a little bit more, and he wasn't any more sort of saying, no, that's your religion. He was allowing you to talk. He was allowing to chat. And in the summertime, we were coming in, and as is the custom in Spain, especially in the small villages, when it's 40 degrees heat, you want any breeze that's moving. So when it gets to about 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, people sit at the front of their houses, and he and his wife were sitting out at the front on the road, and just as the breeze would go down through the main town, and I come in and I stopped, and they said, come on in and sit down and chat with us. And you know, 12 and a half years I've been their neighbours, and for 3 hours I was able to sit and talk to them about the scriptures. After 12 and a half years, doesn't happen quickly, but it happens because of a simple act of just going and visiting someone in hospital. Do you care for your neighbours? Do you care for the people that work for you? Your neighbours even in church? You know, we need to have that caring spirit. We need to show the love of Christ in us. It was great for me. It was lovely to be able to share the gospel with him and have him telling me what he thought it was all about and what were the differences and what is this, what do you believe in this point and what do you believe in the other point. It was wonderful for us to be able to share. Pray for him. Pray that we'll continue with that open door, that he will continue searching, because really the doctors were worried about him. I think he even wasn't sure what was going to happen with his own health and whether he was going to be facing eternity. And he had no hope of where eternity would be. You know, it is so sad, and you find it all the time as you go round the doors in Spain and as you talk to the Spaniards. They have no hope. They're just hoping enough that they've done enough that God's going to let them into heaven, that they'll sort of just get in because their good's going to outbalance their bad. And yet, as we know, we can't do anything. We fall short of the glory of God. But Christ Jesus has done it all for us. And maybe this is an Armagh thing, but I love reading the deaths when I come home. I get the newsletter and I go through everybody that has died to see if there's anybody that I should know. But it's lovely when you read at the bottom, at peace. The day thou givest, Lord, has ended. At home with the Lord, or peace, perfect peace. These are people that know where they've gone to be. These are people that have the assurance of their sins forgiven. But then isn't it sad? I don't know whether you read these, but you get then some of the Roman Catholics, and it's Father Pio, pray for me. Or sweet Jesus, have mercy on my soul. There is no hope in those words. There is no consolation for the families. I was in one of the cathedrals in Spain. I'm coming from Armagh. We do have two cathedrals in our city. We're the cathedral, the ecclesiastical centre in Ireland. But I'd only ever been in the Protestant one. I'd never ventured down to the wrong end of town, as we would talk about, and had never been in it. But in Spain, I think I've been in all of the cathedrals. I love going round them and seeing the architecture. But I was in one, and these ones had the skull caps off the cardinals hanging from the roofs. And I was waiting for the tour guide to tell us what this was all about, being a good Protestant. I didn't understand any of this. And he sort of says, well, you know, he says, not even a cardinal, let alone a pope, has the assurance that when they die, they're going to get into heaven. And according to the tradition is that their skull cap is tied to the roof with a piece of, like, well, I'm going to say bale or twine, but it's that type of a piece of rope type of thing. And according to their tradition, when that rope breaks, then that's that cardinal winging his way up to heaven. And I was looking at it with my friend. Well, we started to laugh because this poor cardinal wasn't ever going to get out of purgatory because his was tied up with a wire thread. But what hope is there? Today, the door of Spain is open. We have the wonderful message of a Saviour who has come to redeem us, who has come to save us from our sins. And yet, in Spain, millions of people are dying without ever hearing that message. According to the statistics, they'll tell you that 80% of Europeans call themselves Christians, except 1 in 10. However, less than 1 in 10 attend any type of church. There is parts of Europe are less evangelical today than communist China. What a shame when you think of the blessings Europe has had and how they've turned their back on the gospel. Pray for the land of Spain. There is one other gentleman I want to mention. His name is Cristobal. Cristobal's an interesting character. We've got to know him over the years on the markets and giving out tracts around the area. And he always had an interest. He would always have taken the tracts, and bit by bit he's got more confidence with us, and he'll stop and he'll chat and he'll talk with us. And he was telling us how much he loves to come and to talk with people who want to talk to him about the things of God. And he said, you know, my friends are giving off to me because they say, don't you know who you're talking to in that table? What do you do in talking to them people at that table? They're the heretics of the town. You shouldn't want to be talking to those people. And he just said, you know, he says, these are the only people that actually want to talk to me about God. Nobody else wants to talk to him about the scriptures, not even the priest. I get from him talking with me, the priest tends to go the other direction when he sees him coming, because he's a man who's well learned, he's well read, he loves reading, and he reads different versions of the scriptures, and he knows a lot of the things in the scriptures, but as yet he isn't saved. But because we have got to know him, he has read basically all the literature I have on the table. He's read even, I found out he read books in English, so we were giving him books that we had in English. And I came to the point that I just didn't know what else to do, what else to give him. And I was talking with John Hannah, and I was telling him what was going on, that this is a man who's really searching for the scripture. He wants to know the truth. And I was saying to John the books that he had read, and I wanted some advice. What books could I get him? And John says, I think you should go for the jugular. So we got the man Calvin's Institutes and Roman Catholicism. Now I thought, dear me, I'm going to be coming home to Ulster saying, I at one time had a very good contact until I listened to John Hannah. Now the man won't talk to me. But you know what happened? He came back and he says to me, Joy, aren't these books wonderful? Now I know why I don't believe these things. It turns out that when he was in his early teens, he was coming out of the confessional box. And he started to question, can that priest really forgive my sins? If I do these prayers, say these prayers, and go for my rosary bead, whatever it was the priest had told him to do to give him absolution, can he really give me absolution of my sins? And you know, the Lord revealed it to him, that only Christ can forgive our sins. In his 20s, he was sitting in the church. He was looking at the idols. And he started to look at them. You know, they tell you that they don't worship them, but they have special days for them. They come and they decorate them with flowers. They'll come as well with candles. They'll carry them round the town on 3 or 4 occasions throughout the year. There is devotion given to their idols. And he was sitting looking at his in his church, and he looked and he said, you know, that idol's got eyes, but it can't see me. Can it really hear my prayers? Can it really answer my prayers when I pray to it? And again, the Lord revealed him that Christ is the mediator between God and man. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a devout Roman Catholic. He goes to Mass every Lord's Day. But the man is searching. Pray for him. His name in English is Christopher. Cristobal in Spanish. From the summertime, we've been going and having Bible studies with him. We were hoping that if he saw the benefit of actually hearing the word spoken, that it would give him a desire to come to the church. He's never come into our church building at all. And up until I came home, he had never actually come even to our midweek meeting. Our midweek meeting is held in another home because we find it so difficult to get people into the churches. And so I had left him a pen drive with 30 to 40 sermons on it. And he came that night to the midweek meeting to give me back the pen drive. Now, I wanted him to hold on to the pen drive because obviously I'm here in Northern Ireland. I'm not going to be listening to Spanish sermons. And I says, no, they're for you. And he says, no, I've already them listened to. He had had them for 10 days. And he had listened to between 30 and 40 sermons. He's searching. Take it upon your heart to pray for him. His name is Christopher. Pray that the Lord will really help this man to understand the truth. Pray that he won't be like many other of our contacts, who they come to a point and then the fear of man comes in, and the scripture says the fear of man bringeth a snare, and they turn and they walk away. Pray that this won't happen with Christopher, that the Lord will really open this man's eyes. As I say, he's searching. He also reads some of the books in philosophy and mysticism, and I think he sort of mixes the things together. I also have a fear that he thinks, well, if I go to Mass in the morning, I keep the Roman Catholic God as such at peace, and I then have joy in the evening, and we do a Bible study, I'm sort of keeping a balance between both, and then definitely I'm going to cover all bases, and I'll therefore be able to get into heaven. Pray that the Lord will really show him the truth. That it is Christ and Christ alone. He knows and understands so much, but he hasn't just grasped the simpleness of having the assurance of his salvation. Pray that the Lord will really move in the land of Spain. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to come in his power. We've got a time now while it is day. The doors are open. We have got a certain amount of people that are working in the land. We have people at home that are praying for the land of Spain. Pray that the Lord will come in his power, that he will come and move in the hearts of the men and women and show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.